Did you know that you can watch the next Femme Forte episode 1 week early on the Stride TV app? Use the code Femme Forte to get 50% off your Stride TV subscription for exclusive videos and live streams and to chat with me and our incredible community.
I told myself the same thing I tell my kids every day, which is like, you learn the most from your failures, or you learn most from your mistakes. And so I was like, not that this season or this year was a failure or a mistake, but I didn't feel good about it. And so I was like, why would I quit on that?
Right.
Like, I should learn from it and be better for it and be appreciative of the years that I love teaching.
Welcome to Femme Forte, a place where we have real conversations with influential female music educators and performers. I'm your host, Amanda DeVries. In today's episode, we are joined by someone who has helped me learn to live in the moment. Caitlin Wolf comes from Cedar Park, Texas, and currently serves as the marching band director at Rouse High School. Caitlin is so passionate about band and teaching, and to my surprise, it wasn't always like that.
I did not always want to be a music educator. I was planning on being a vet for most of my life, and I volunteered at an animal shelter for about 7 years. I love dogs, and that was the route I was going to go. And then my senior year, around November, I was in AP biology and hated everything I was doing. And I was like, I can't do this for 8 years or however long it takes to be a vet. So I remember coming home that day and I was like, Mom, I'm not going to apply. Like, I had already sent my college applications out to vet schools. Like, I was going to go to A&M to be a vet. And then she's like, okay, well, what do you want to do? I was like, I don't know. And she's like, okay, well, where do you want to apply? And I was like, I don't know. So I just quickly changed routes, and I ended up applying to 9 different schools and auditioned all throughout the spring. And once I started going that way, I never turned back. So I did not always want to be a teacher. I love it now. And I'm glad I ended up doing it.
So what exactly was the turning point for you that made you realize, like, I'm really passionate about music and I really am passionate about specifically music education?
Well, I mean, I was always passionate about it. I mean, I was major band nerd in middle school and high school. I love it. My parents were band sweethearts. So, like, I knew I was going to be in band. I ended up playing flute because my mom played the flute. Like, I missed instrument testing day, but we had a flute. So, like, that's what I ended up playing. My husband and I are band sweethearts. We met in middle school and we're a band together throughout middle school and high school. So, like, I've always loved band. I've always loved music. I've played piano since I was 4. Like, it's been a part of my life forever. It was really that AP bio class that made me switch from wanting to be a vet. And once I got into college, I started teching and teaching private lessons, and being around students just was like so reaffirming that I was doing the right thing.
I can relate to that on a very similar level. I was also known in high school as the absolute band nerd, always driven towards band all the time. There was a senior video I had to produce for like a video class one time. And I remember looking back, it's on YouTube currently to this day. And I remember looking back and someone interviewed me about something about what's your favorite thing about senior year. And every third word out of my mouth
was band.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you went to Cedar Park High School, correct?
And, my freshman year, yeah. Yes,
and then transferred to Vandergrift, where you were a part of one of the first graduating classes, right?
Yes, yeah. It was kind of weird because the Cedar Park, I went there my freshman year, and then Vandergrift opened kind of, I don't know if it was a year early, but it wasn't like on the right timeline of what was supposed to be happening.
Yeah.
And so a group of sophomores from Cedar Park went to Vandergrift, and it just so happens that my house was on the border, which meant that I could either choose to stay at Cedar Park or I could choose to go to Vandergrift. And it, like, I guess my situation was super unique because I went to a Cedar Park zoned elementary school, and then I went to what is now a Vandergrift zoned middle school. So, like, I made a whole new set of friends, and I lost all my friends. And then once I went to Cedar Park my freshman year, everybody was in the same roof again. So, like, I knew everybody because I went to elementary school or I went to middle school with them. And I actually ended up choosing Vandergrift because I was closer to my middle school friends and my now husband. He was my best friend, and he was going to go to Vandergrift. So I was like, I'll go to Vandergrift and try something new. It was not like, you know, hindsight's 2020. So you look at that and you're like, well, of course you chose Vandergrift. And it's like, that's not how it felt when I was a sophomore, because at the time, Cedar Park had just gotten fourth in the state at 5A and was a super successful program with a great community and great students and great directors. And to go to Vandergrift where there's like 40 something kids and just a handful of I think there's like maybe 13 or 14 sophomores in my class. Yeah. So it was just like, it was not the most popular decision, but I would never trade it because it was such a unique experience. I learned so much being a leader, because we had to be, because sophomores were like the seniors on campus. Yeah. And Vandergrift actually, because it didn't open at the right time, it actually opened at the middle school. So like Four Points Middle School was Vandergrift's first year. So like I graduated middle school, went to Cedar Park, which was a huge campus, and then I was back in a middle school campus again. But it was great. I mean, I definitely loved it. And my band directors are a huge reason why I wanted to be a band director.
Yeah, you mentioned how, you know, people were like, well, of course you chose Vandergrift, but obviously you didn't know, you know, it was very still fresh and new at the time. So kind of looking back on it now, is there like a sense of pride, like knowing how successful the program is now and you being one of the first inaugural band members?
Oh, yeah. I'm a very proud alumna of that group. And it's been really cool to see where we started, because of course I have all of my memories, and I'll talk to Jeremy or Mike, who opened up the program, about what I remember. I'm like, is my memory tainted, or is like, this is what happened, right? Cause like, how are y'all this good if that's what I like remember? Cause we were not good. So I'm like, what happened? And he's like, no, we weren't good. And I was like, okay, I just wanted to make sure. Cause like, but yeah, I'm very, very proud, and it's awesome to see what the program's done. And I'm still, I think it was, again, a really unique experience with about 40 band students and such a small core group that started the program of freshmen and sophomores. I mentioned that I'm married to my high school sweetheart. We're almost on 4 years of marriage, but we've known each other for 14 or 15 years. And there are other members in that 40-person group that are married, and all of us are still talk and are connected. And, you know, I graduated high school more than 10 years ago. And I don't think that's common. I think it's common to be really close to your high school friends. But we kept those bonds because of everything we went through in the inaugural years of Vandergrift. And I'm really proud of the program. It's awesome to see. I'm proud of everything that they've accomplished. It's great. It's awesome.
That's one of the things I love about TMEA. I've been going to TMEA since, I think, my freshman year of high school. And so that was back in 2013, 2014. So, and I have not missed a TMEA since. And so one of the things I truly enjoy is just getting to see everybody. I was actually telling Jack earlier, I was like, the more you're in Texas, you're going to run into people at least every 3 seconds, which is like the beauty of being here, because everybody in Texas, at least both of us were from Texas, we at least know one person and are bound to run into one or two people.
Yes, you run into everybody, especially like you can't go anywhere at TMEA without running into anybody. And I was joking with my husband because I mentioned, you know, we just bought a house, and I always talk to him about whether we should live in my attendance zone or not, because for a long time I didn't want to. Like I didn't want to be seen in public at the grocery store, because then I'd have to talk to people, you know? So like we lived outside of my attendance zone for my first 5 years of teaching. And now we're living closer in my attendance zone. So like this weekend, we went shopping at 4 different places, and I ran into someone at all 4 places. And I looked at my husband. I said, I told you, if we live in my attendance zone, because like we were shopping there.
Yeah.
And he's like, I didn't know that you were serious. I was like, I was serious. Like, I'm going to run into people because I've lived here my whole life in that area, and I teach a bunch of kids. Like, you're going to run into people.
So going back to teaching, I want to show you a post that I found on Facebook, and it talks about, you posted it at the beginning of this year, and you talk about reflecting on 2022 and how, and I'll show you it here.
Yes, I remember making that. Yep.
Yes. And so one of the things while reading it that I love is you just talk about how there is an influx of teachers leaving the profession, and how you what made you stay grounded and want to continue? So what, I guess my question for you is, when did you realize, or what was that turning point or passion in you that made you want to stay in this profession?
For those of you who haven't read the post, I'm basically talking about how this past year, both the spring and the fall was my personal hardest year for teaching. I felt like I was trying and putting 100% in, but things didn't feel like they were getting better, which I haven't personally experienced. And so I remember like at the end of 2022, yeah, of this past semester, I was like, this is hard. Like, this is really, really hard. And I was worried. I was like, is this what people were talking about? Like, is this why people are leaving? Like, this feeling right here, is this why people are leaving? And then I went on winter break and I kind of, you know, took a break from everything, and I was traveling a lot. There was a lot of stuff going on during that time, and I missed teaching. I took 2 weeks off and I missed it a lot. And I usually do miss teaching. When I'm on break, I usually miss it. And so I was like, okay, so I still love it. If I miss it, I still love it. I told myself the same thing I tell my kids every day, which is like, you learn the most from your failures, or you learn most from your mistakes. And so I was like, not that this season or this year was a failure or a mistake, mm-hmm. but I didn't feel good about it. And so I was like, why would I quit on that?
Right.
Like, I should learn from it and be better for it and be appreciative of the years that I love teaching, or like of the years that I feel like things are getting better and everything. So that's what I did. And I kind of changed my approach this concert season that we're in right now. And it's going so much better. And I love it. I love showing up for my sectionals at 6:30 in the morning. Like, and I know that sounds silly or fake even, but it's not. Like, I truly love it. Last year, I did not. I dreaded going to sectionals. So it's, I don't know, I think it's important to know that you go through different seasons of teaching, and that just because it's hard doesn't mean that you have to quit. Like, and I'm not saying that you should stay. Like, if it's not a great environment, or you just decide something else that you love. Like, I know that you said that you were interested in being a teacher and now you're in media, and like, for what it's worth, like, you're rocking. You're rocking it. So it's like, that's the right move for you. So that was my turning point, was realizing that I missed it, and that like, I should learn from what I felt and what I did and move forward from that. And already we're a month and a half into the new year, and I love everything about my job again. So I don't know. I think we just go through seasons of things changing and it feeling different. And I'm not going to say that I'm going to do something forever, because I don't have a crystal ball, but like, there's nothing else I want to be doing. So I'm going to try to make it work.
Yeah. And I agree with you in the whole changing of seasons and things fluctuating, because I went through a very similar experience, kind of as you just previously mentioned. So in college and throughout high school, band was the only thing I wanted to do. I started at Texas A&M Kingsville as a jazz studies major, thought I wanted to play drum set for the rest of my life, and had this huge dream of being a touring musician. And unfortunately, I went through a really bad mental health period my first couple of years of college, and I lost the fun in playing, which was something that absolutely devastated me. And so kind of how I picked up the media thing was, I always loved recording myself. I used to have a YouTube channel that would have all my band recordings of like the GoPro from like the marching season and drumline. You know.
I do. I've never loved recording myself. So like, to hear you say that, it's like, yeah, I mean, you're in the right thing.
Yeah.
Because
So I would do that. And then it got even a little bit crazy when I would do like, I would buy multiple GoPros and do like multiple angles and like learn to edit. And so that's how I picked up the video editing. And so once I decided to take a step back from music, and find a new major, I went into communications because media was the new thing. I knew that video production, I really enjoyed that. I made like our band banquet video for high school, and then that later turned into another band banquet for our college marching band. And so I kind of decided to pursue that route, and so went on the media route for a little bit. But through that music has always stayed a part of me. Even if I wasn't playing at the time, I still wanted to be involved with the music department. So at Texas A&M Kingsville, I helped the music department create a lot of their fundraising videos. I ended up doing, like, being the media director for our collegiate marching band at the time for a season. And it's really full circle to come back and be in this position now with Ultimate Drill Book. Is even though at that time, you know, I thought that I was going to not necessarily give up music, but just like almost never do it again, at least for a while. In that point, you know, I had taken jobs through corporate jobs and higher education, but to literally come full circle back into media and music, as music saying like my first love and my first passion, certainly I believe that everything happens for a reason. And again, to your point, the whole season's changing. That really means a lot to me, and that's something I certainly remember and live by.
Well, it sounds like you're doing exactly what you're meant to be doing.
Kind of talking about a little bit more about your teaching perspective, you recently did a clinic at TBA called Finding Your Voice, A Young Teacher's Perspective. Now, you are what I would consider now a more experienced seasoned band director. So
you can just call me old. It's fine.
No, I don't think you're old by any means. But you certainly have a few years of experience under your belt. So why do you think this topic was so important? Can you tell me a little bit about what the presentation was about?
Sure. And for the record, I feel, even though when I say year seven, if I heard that, I'm like, oh my God, you're old. And then saying it, I'm like, I'm still in the beginning. Like, it just, I still feel like a baby teacher at times. So that clinic was specifically engineered, and it was actually me and my best friend, Anna Bush, who's the band director at Vandergrift, talk about full circle. And we both felt strongly and passionately about how when we grew up, like, her dad's a band director. We both grew up in the same school district. She went to Cedar Park. She went 2 years after I did. We actually went to the same elementary school, that Cedar Park Zoned Elementary School. We went to the same one, but we didn't know each other. And then we were at the competing high schools. We were at Vandergrift and Cedar Park, and we knew of each other, but we didn't know each other because we both thought each other hated one another, because that's how girls are sometimes. So anyway, she and I would talk a lot now about how when we were growing up, because we grew up in the same environment, that we didn't have a ton of female role models of what this job looks like. There were, like, I mean, my band director in middle school is female, and she's amazing, and she's probably 4'11", but is a dynamite, and, like, I learned so much from her because of her. But we didn't feel like we had a ton of examples of what female band directing looks like. And we wanted to talk about it from that perspective too, about, like, when there's some things that being a woman in this profession, if you approach it like a man, that you will get called out for. You know, there's just, like, different things. And I don't care. I don't care if I'm going to get called out for it, because I'm going to teach the way that I think is best. And that was kind of what we were talking about, is that you, as a teacher, you bring your own whatever to your classroom. And that while you have role models, whether it's male, female, or any other label you want to put on a person, you need to be teaching from your voice, because that's what students are going to connect to. And not to try to be somebody else or try to be what your band director was or anything, because kids have the best, BS meters. they know if you're lying or if you're not being true to yourself. And so it's really important that you are teaching from yourself, from who you are, because that's what the kids are going to resonate to the most. And how both she and I felt like we struggled with that at the beginning, because we were trying to be our band directors, or we were trying to be someone else. And again, we were modeling the male mentorship, the male perspective. Yeah. And sometimes things don't translate as well. You know, I would say something that my band director would say all the time that I never took offensively or anything. And then I would say it in the classroom and I would get an angry parent email about being bossy or being whatever. And it's like, okay, like that's what was told to me growing up. And right. No one got any angry parent emails. But because I said it, because I'm, you know, 24 years old and a girl, I'm getting in trouble for it. Like, so it was important to us to share our experiences and talk about it. And at the end of the day, encourage people to teach the way that is true to them. It's kind of, it's a very long-winded version of it, but yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned a really good point, too. I recently went to the Women in Leadership TMEA clinic that was taking place yesterday, and one of the things that they mentioned was, and that was very common with a lot of women that shared their story, was being called out for being bossy or assertive. And I think, you know, even outside of this community, a lot of people aren't really used to strong women or strong human beings in that regards. And one of the things I was actually telling Luke this about you yesterday was one of the things I admire most about you is you're super confident, and I consider you like a strong human being and woman. And that's something I very much admire. And that's something that I feel like is rare in qualities of most of the people I meet, but I certainly admire that about you. And I certainly think that women in this space should not be scared to be confident and not be scared to be assertive, because again, we are just as equal. So I'm glad you brought that point. And I love that, again, one of the reasons that I wanted you to be on this podcast, because I think having this conversation is really important, and you being the awesome role model that you are, I love for listeners and viewers to hear this, because I think it's a very important topic to talk about. So kind of going off of that, are there any other specific struggles that you had to deal with? And with that, what are some of the things that help you overcome those hurdles?
I mean, I think that there, of course, are struggles that are unique to my life. And, you know, my labels are that I am, you know, 28-year-old female that has long hair, so it makes me look younger. And, you know, I'm almost 30 and I still get mistaken for high school students sometimes, you know? So like when you're young and when you're a girl, like there are assumptions that are made about you, you know? So when I'm walking around the convention, even with the best intent, if I meet other people, there are assumptions that are being made about me, just like we always, when you meet anybody, you just make assumptions, and it's human nature and you're not supposed to, but you do anyway. And so just dealing with any assumptions that are made about me is, you know, that either I'm too young or whatever. It's kind of going on a tangent, but the things that have always bothered me, I hate when I meet somebody for the first time and they call me sweetie or honey. Why? You want to do that to my boss? And like, I don't even know you. My husband doesn't even call me sweetie or honey, so why are you? Like, I get so riled up about those kinds of things. Or like, also, when you're meeting someone for the first time, I'm not a touchy-feely person. Like, I don't go in for hugs even with my best friends. Like, that's not me. And so when people assume that when I meet them that they want to give me a hug, and I'm like, I don't know you. You didn't hug my boss. You shook his hand. I'm happy to do that. And so it's like just little things like that that just kind of like add up, you know. Or I actually talked about this in my presentation about what we wore for the presentation. And at first I was going to wear, you know, slacks and a blazer and a shirt and like look professional and great. And I think that whole outfit is male based and it's fine, or it's more masculine, I guess. Yeah. And it's more masculine and that's fine. And I have plenty of outfits like that, but I wanted to dress feminine that day. And that's how I felt. So I wore a dress, and I talked about that and how like, that was a conscious choice of like, I felt like wearing a dress and I'm going to wear it. And if people think that that makes me look less professional, then that's their problem.
Right.
Because we should be allowed to wear what we feel comfortable in. And it shouldn't be a judgment because I didn't wear the more masculine option, if that makes sense. Those are things that rile me up about being a young female in the profession. Let me think. I think the way that I teach, and maybe you can say if this is true or not since you've seen me teach, mm-hmm. I think I'm pretty direct, and I think that most students, when they first meet me, are a little bit intimidated or scared because I'm not that motherly, oh, it's going to be okay figure. I'm like, no, you're going to do that again. And that's how I was taught, and that's how I liked to be taught, and that's how I teach. And so when people meet me for the first time, I'm pretty direct. I'll say exactly what I'm thinking. I won't sugarcoat it because I don't think it needs to be sugarcoated. And I think that's also important to me, that my students see that, because the students who know me, like the older ones, know where I'm coming from, and so they love it. And they're like, it resonates with them. And like my younger female students have told me, like, thank you for providing that, because they don't see it that often. And I'm not saying you can't be motherly. Like, I know a ton of band directors that are like that, and that's them. I'm not a motherly teacher. Like, that's not my personality. So that's something else that I am pretty passionate about, is teaching from my voice, which is why I gave a clinic on it.
And now, a word from our sponsors. Femme Forte is sponsored by Ultimate Drill Book. UDB app modernizes marching band. Spend less time, have more fun, and achieve at a higher level. Just upload your drill from Pyware into the UDB app, and everyone in your band gets animations with your show music, precise pathways, synced music, notes, props, and so much more. It's just easier. Head to ultimatedrillbook.com and use code FEMFORTE when you order to get 20% off UDB App Pro. Stride TV is now available to download on the App Store. Watch exclusive videos like FEMFORTE, Inside Drum Corps, Charity Chase, and so much more. Use code FEMFORTE at checkout to get 50% off premium features like community chat, live Q&A with me, and behind-the-scenes content. Stride TV is home of the arts, a dedicated media platform for the arts community.
One of the things, again, that I am so grateful and humble for you to be on this show is you are an absolute rock star and powerhouse. And that's why I wanted you to be like in the first episodes of this, because you are a perfect representation, again, of someone who's not afraid to stand up for themselves, not afraid to do things against society norms. And that's something that I truly am absolutely adored by you.
Well, again, thank you.
again, I cannot express how much of a role model that you are that I wish that I had in my band program. And so I very much can relate to your students of like, thank you for that. Thank you for, you know, you are essentially leading, you know, the way, not only just for female students, but for everybody in general, because if you start that foundation early, that's going to be the new norm for them. And so I cannot express enough how I think you are wonderful at your job and bring such a great and new perspective that people need today. And one of the things in relation to that is, again, almost like defying the norm. So how does it feel like you are, have a lot of accolades? You were on the Crossman board of directors. You were a Crossman drum major. You're on the SASE leadership team, and now you're the marching band director of Rouse High School, which is a very successful band program. How does it feel to keep making strides forward despite all the challenges you have faced as a female educator?
Well, I guess when you list out the different things that I'm involved in, it doesn't feel like, I don't know. I mean, I guess they're accolades. It just feels like I'm living life and doing what I love to do. But one of the very first questions you asked was about like why I'm a teacher, and it's still to not just to be a role model, but to lead the generation. And so it feels like with everything that I'm doing that I'm trying to help the next set of students, because that's what someone did for me. I am female, but I don't let that necessarily define all my actions of what I'm doing. Like, I don't do it because I'm female. It's just a label that I have. All of my time, I do like to spend helping. You know, that's mainly what I get the most enjoyment out of. And so as a band director, when I teach leadership, on the board, all of my decisions are geared to help, you know, the next generation. And so that's where I experience the most pleasure. I was talking to a student, yes, a former student who's studying music right now, because she reached out to me and was like, I don't know if I want to be in music anymore. What should I do? And so we met yesterday and we're talking through it. And I was giving her my advice. And what I had told her was like, the reason, or one of my favorite parts about being a teacher is sitting in my office, and then at the end of the day, when students are coming by to pick up their instruments, them making silly faces at me as they walk by, or someone coming in and knocking, and they're like, Miss Wolf, I just got like a 102 on my math test. And I'm like, yay, go get your instrument. But like, I love sharing their life with them, and I love being a person that they want to report their good news to so I can celebrate them. That's my favorite part. And I get to use music as a vehicle to build those relationships and teach all of the life lessons that band teaches. I can't think of any other job that gets to do that. I've actually thought about it, because, you know, what other job is like this? Band directing is so unique because you get to be with them for all 3 years or all 4 years in middle school or high school. So you get to see where they started their freshman year and how they end up their senior year. It's co-ed. So like where sports, maybe as a coach, you get to be with them. There's not co-ed sports that you get to be with both versions. So it's just so unique in that capacity, and there's no other profession like it. And I love it. Last year, I'm in year seven, but last year was my first senior class that I had seen from freshman all the way through senior.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to them, because if they're listening, they know that they're my favorite. Or at least that's what they say. But that was like a huge light bulb moment for me, because I saw them from freshman through senior, and to see how they ended up, I'm like, oh, this is why teachers do it. To see that growth and see everything. And I write senior letters every year to them for every class that I've taught, just like a farewell. And I usually will include like my first impressions or best wishes kinds of things. And it was really hard to write that class, because to think about where they came from and where they ended up. And I know that this year is going to be just as hard, because I have another full class that I've seen them grow through. But it's just, that's my favorite part, is the relationships with the students and them sharing their lives with me, and me hopefully helping them with whatever they're going through, because they're finding themselves and they don't know how to do that. And, you know, they'll come to me with these questions and I'm like, I know that you think that adults have it figured out. We don't. We're just doing our best. We're trying to live our lives too. But I love helping them. And that's why I'm a band director. So
that's,
I don't think I answered your question, but anyway.
No, what you said and just hearing about how passionate you are about teaching and what those relationships to the students mean to you is truly phenomenal and inspiring. And I do, before we wrap up here, I do have one last question for you.
Okay.
And so you mentioned how you didn't necessarily know that you wanted to be a music educator at first. And it was that AP biology class that turned things around for you. So having the knowledge you know now, if you could go back in time, what is something you wish you had told yourself as that AP biology student and just kind of a word of advice?
Well, probably the same thing that my mom told me, but I just didn't believe her for a long time, which is essentially that it doesn't, like I was at that point, I was very stressed about what I was going to do. And I think a lot of students struggle with that. I can't tell you how many students have cried in my office about what college they're going to or what they're going to do for the rest of their lives and the immense amount of pressure that they're under to make these major decisions when their like brain isn't even fully developed. And I struggled with the same thing because I was going through an identity crisis of like I was going to be a vet and then all of a sudden, no, I'm not. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And, you know, I'm freaking out. And my mom kept saying, it doesn't matter what college you go to. And I'm like, yes, it does. Like, this is going to change the trajectory of my entire life, depending on what's like. And you put so much pressure on these little decisions. But she's like, it doesn't matter what college you go to. The choice is that you're going to college versus not going to college. And I'm like, no, it matters. Like, I need to know now where I'm going right now. And she just kept saying, like, it doesn't matter where you go. It matters that you're choosing to go. And once you're there, you're going to figure it out. And I'm like, yeah, but I need to know. That doesn't mean anything right now. So, and I kind of pass along the same advice to my students is that, you know, the decision is that you're going to college or you're not going to college. It doesn't really matter which one you go to because you're going to make the most out of it. And, you know, I try to help them in those decisions of where I think that they would fit best, because I do think that choosing your college can be important, because obviously they all have different vibes and atmospheres and strengths and weaknesses. But my advice to my high school version of myself would to be chill out. Don't take yourself so seriously. Stop and smell the roses a couple times. I think my students are like this too. We're constantly thinking about the next thing. And so while I was a senior in high school, all I'm thinking about is college. And while I'm in college, all I'm thinking about is being a band director. And it's like, I should just stop and enjoy where I'm at in life. And I was also thinking about this the other day. Like when I graduated college, I was like, I am going to be a head director within my first 5 years. That was my goal. I said it out loud. I felt confident about it. I'm in year seven, I'm not a head band director. And, you know, 7 year ago version of myself would be like, why? What are you doing? Like, are you not working hard? You know, I don't want to be a head director right now. Like, and that's good. And that's okay. And like, I'm working at my dream job, being an assistant. I'm running a marching band and I'm teaching leadership and I get to teach my band every day and I get to do the job. And, I don't want my boss to leave. I don't want to be a head director. And I've been offered positions or offered interviews to go be head directors at places. And I'm like, thank you. No, thank you. Like, it's okay to be content with what you have. And it's okay to not keep trying to think about the next thing. So I wish that my senior year, I stopped and just enjoyed what I had. Cause I personally loved high school. I know most people don't say that, but I loved high school. I wish in college I enjoyed more of college because all I did was go to classes and go to sleep. And I took 22 hours like every semester. And now I'm starting to figure that out. It's like, you can be content. You can be happy with what you have. And I am. And I feel like I've discovered the secret to life is just being content and happy with what you have instead of trying to constantly push or compare or whatever. So, I guess that would be my advice.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. I relate to you on such a whole level there. I was the five-year person, like, in 5 years, I'm going to do this, and that's what I'm going to set my mind to, and that's all that's going to be. And certainly within these last few years, as I've experienced a lot of changes with just moving to Austin recently and all that, I'm certainly learning to take it day by day, to live, you know, still have the mindset of the planning that will always be a part of me, but certainly live for the moment, so to speak. And so that is something I'm learning to get better at each day. Yes, thank you again for being on the show. You're, again, inspiring, an amazing person, and I'm so excited for this to go out. Where can listeners and viewers find you online, through any social media, website?
I do have a Facebook. I do have an Instagram. I have no idea what my handle is, so I don't know.
It's okay.
It's awesome. I love that you're putting this together, and I'm excited to see everything, and I love how passionate you are. So I hope that, based on the limited things that I know about you, everything that you've described, like, you are living your passion. And so I know that this is your passion project. And that's so rare and so special. And it reminds me again of, like, when my students find their thing, like, just how awesome that is. So keep doing it and have a lot of fun and enjoy doing it, because you're doing awesome. It's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Femme Forte is produced and hosted by me, Amanda DeFries. Theme song is by Humans Win. Audio production and cinematography by Jack Pentelio. For more information on Femme Forte, follow us on social media at Femme Forte Podcast and StrideTV.com. Don't forget to watch the next week's episode on the StrideTV app.